When he was about 20 feet from the dugout, the door opened just a few inches. A man's face appeared in the light, and a hand came out holding a revolver. Rooster stopped. The face said,
"Who is it out there?"
Rooster said,
"We're looking for shelter. There's three of us."
The face in the door said,
"There is no room for you here."
The door closed, and in a moment, the light inside went out. Rooster turned to us and made a beckoning signal. Labeef dismounted and went to join him. I made a move to go, but Labeef told me to stay in the cover of the break and hold the horses. Rooster took off his deerskin jacket and gave it to Labeef and sent him up on the clay bank to cover the chimney. Then Rooster moved about 10 feet to the side and got down on one knee with his rifle at the ready. The jacket made a good damper, and soon smoke could be seen curling out around the door. There were raised voices inside, and then a hissing noise as of water being thrown on fire and coals. The door was flung open, and there came two fiery blasts from a shotgun. It scared me nearly to death. I heard the shot falling through tree branches. Rooster returned the volley with several shots from his rifle. There was a yelp of pain from inside, and the door was slammed to again.
"I'm a federal officer," said Rooster. "Who all is in there? Speak up and be quick about it."
"A Methodist and a son of a bitch," was the insolent reply. "Keep riding."
"Is that Emmett Quincy?" said Rooster.
"We don't know any Emmett Quincy."
"Quincy, I know it is you. Listen to me. This is Rooster Cogburn. Columbus Potter and five more marshals is out here with me. We have got a bucket of coal oil. In 1 minute, we will burn you out from both ends. Chuck your arms out clear and come out with your hands locked on your head, and you will not be harmed. Once that coal oil goes down the chimney, we are killing everything that comes out the door."
"There is only three of you."
"You go ahead and bet your life on it. How many is in there?"
"Moon can't walk. He's hit."
"Drag him out. Light that lamp."
"What kind of papers have you got on me?"
"I don't have no papers on you. You better move, boy. How many is in there?"
"Just me and Moon. Tell them other officers to be careful with their guns. We're coming out."
A light showed again from inside. The door was pulled back, and a shotgun and two revolvers were pitched out. The two men came out with one limping and holding to the other. Rooster and Labeef made them lie down on their bellies in the snow while they were searched for more weapons. The one called Quincy had a Bowie knife in one boot and a little two-shot gambler's pistol in the other. He said he had forgotten they were there, but this did not keep Rooster from giving him a kick. I came up with the horses, and Labeef took them into the stock shelter. Rooster poked the two men into the dugout with his rifle. They were young men in their 20s. The one called Moon was pale and frightened and looked no more dangerous than a fat puppy. He had been shot in the thigh and his trouser leg was bloody. The man Quincy had a long, thin face with eyes that were narrow and foreign-looking. He reminded me of some of those Slovak people that came in here a few years ago to cut barrel staves. The ones that stayed have made good citizens. People from those countries are usually Catholics, if they are anything. They love candles and beads. Rooster gave Moon a blue handkerchief to tie around his leg, and then he bound the two men together with steel handcuffs and had them sit side by side on a bench. The only furniture in the place was a low table of adzed logs standing on pegs and a bench on either side of it. I flapped a tow sack in the open door in an effort to clear the smoke out. A pot of coffee had been thrown into the fireplace, but there were still some live coals and sticks around the edges, and I stirred them up into a blaze again. There was another pot in the fireplace, too, a big one, a 2-gallon pot, and it was filled with a mess that looked like hominy. Rooster tasted it with a spoon and said it was an Indian dish called sofki. He offered me some and said it was good, but it had trash in it, and I declined.
"Was you boys looking for company?" he said.
"That is our supper and breakfast both," said Quincy. "I like a big breakfast."
I would love to watch you eat breakfast.
Safke always cooks up bigger than you think.
What are you boys up to, outside of stealing stock and peddling spirits? You're way too jumpy.
You said you didn't have no papers on us, replied Quincy.
I don't have none on you by name, said Rooster. I got some John Doe warrants on a few jobs I could tailor up for you. Resisting a federal officer, too. That's a year right there.
We didn't know it was you. It might have been some crazy man out there, Moon said.
My leg hurts.
Rooster said, I bet it does. Sit right still and it won't bleed so bad.
Quincy said, we didn't know who it was out there a night like this. We was drinking some, and the weather spooked us. Anybody can say he's a marshal. Where's all the other officers?
I misled you there, Quincy.
When was the last time you seen your old pard, Ned Pepper?
Ned Pepper, said the stock thief. I don't know him. Who is he?
I think you know him, said Rooster. I know you have heard of him. Everybody's heard of him.
I never heard of him.
He used to work for Mr. Burlingame. Didn't you work for him a while?
Yes, and I quit him like everybody else has done. He runs off all his good help. He's so close, old skinflint. I wish he was in hell with his back broke. I don't remember any Ned Pepper.
Rooster said, they say Ned was a mighty good drover. I'm surprised you don't remember him. He is a little feisty fella, nervous and quick. His lip is all messed up.
That don't bring anybody to mind. A funny lip.
He didn't always have it.
I think you know him.
Now, here's something else. There's a new boy running with Ned. He's short himself, and he's got a powder mark on his face, a black place. He calls himself Cheney, or Chelmsford sometimes. He carries a Henry rifle.
That don't bring anybody to mind, said Quincy.
A black mark. I would remember something like that.
You don't know anything I want to know, do you?
No, and if I did, I would not blow.
Well, you think on it some, Quincy. You too, Moon.
Moon said,
I always try to help out the law if it won't harm my friends. I don't know them boys. I would like to help you if I could.
If you don't help me, I will take you both back to Judge Parker, said Rooster. By the time we get to Fort Smith, that leg will be swelled up as tight as Dick's hat band. It will be mortified and they will cut it off. Then, if you live, I'll get you 2 or 3 years in the federal house up in Detroit.
You're trying to get at me, said Moon.
They'll teach you how to read and write up there, but the rest of it is not so good, said Rooster. You don't have to go if you don't want to. If you give me some good information on Ned, I will take you to McAllister's tomorrow, and you can get that ball out of your leg. Then I will give you 3 days to clear the territory. They have a lot of fat stock in Texas, and you boys can do well there.
Moon said,
we can't go to Texas.
Quincy said, now, don't go to flapping your mouth, Moon. It is best to let me do the talking.
I can't sit still. My leg is giving me fits.
Rooster got his bottle of whiskey and poured some in a cup for the young stock thief.
If you listen to Quincy, son, you'll die or lose your leg, said he. Quincy ain't hurting.
Quincy said, don't let him spook you, Moon. You must be a soldier. We'll get clear of this.
LaBeef came in, lugging our bedrolls and other traps. He said,
there are 6 horses out there in that cave, Cogburn.
What kind of horses? Said Rooster.
They look like right good mounts to me. I think they're all shod.
Rooster questioned the thieves about the horses, and Quincy claimed they had bought them at Fort Gibson and were taking them down to sell to the Indian police called the Choctaw Light Horse. But he could show no bill of sale or otherwise prove the property, and Rooster did not believe the story. Quincy grew sullen and would answer no further questions. I was sent out to gather firewood, and I took the lamp, or rather the bullseye lantern, for that was what it was, and kicked about in the snow and turned up some sticks and fallen saplings. I had no axe or hatchet, and I dragged the pieces in whole, making several trips. Rooster made another pot of coffee. He put me to slicing up the salt meat and corn dodgers, now frozen hard, and he directed Quincy to pick the feathers from the turkey and cut it up for frying. Labeef wanted to roast the bird over the open fire, but Rooster said it was not fat enough for that and would come out tough and dry. I sat on a bench on one side of the table, and the thieves sat on the other side, their manacled hands resting between them up on the table. The thieves had made pallets on the dirt floor by the fireplace, and now Rooster and Labeef sat on these blankets with their rifles in their laps, taking their ease. There were holes in the walls where the side had fallen away, and the wind came whistling through these places, making the lantern flicker a little, but the room was small, and the fire gave off more than enough heat. Take it all around, we were rather cozily fixed. I poured a can of scalding water over the stiff turkey, but it was not enough to loosen all the feathers. Quincy picked them with his free hand and held the bird steady with the other. He grumbled over the awkwardness of the task. When the picking was done, he cut the bird up into frying pieces with his big Bowie knife, and he showed his spite by doing a poor job of it. He made rough and careless chops instead of clean cuts. Moon drank whiskey and whimpered from the pain in his leg. I felt sorry for him. Once he caught me stealing glances at him, and he said,
"What are you looking at?"
It was a foolish question, and I made no reply. He said,
"Who are you? What are you doing here? What is this girl doing here?"
I said, "I am Mattie Ross of near Dardanelle, Arkansas. Now, I will ask you a question. What made you become a stock thief?" He said again,
"What is this girl doing here?"
Rooster said,
"She's with me."
"She is with both of us," said Labeef.
Moon said,
"It don't look right to me. I don't understand it."
I said, "The man Cheney, the man with the marked face, killed my father. He was a whiskey drinker like you. It led to killing in the end. If you will answer the marshal's questions, he will help you. I have a good lawyer at home, and he will help you too."
"I am puzzled by this,"
Quincy said.
"Don't get to jawing with these people, Moon."
I said, "I don't like the way you look." Quincy stopped his work. He said,
"Are you talking to me, Runt?"
I said, "Yes, and I will say it again. I don't like the way you look, and I don't like the way you are cutting up that turkey. I hope you go to jail. My lawyer will not help you." Quincy grinned and made a gesture with the knife as though to cut me. He said,
"You're a fine one to talk about looks. You look like somebody has worked you over with the ugly stick."
I said, "Rooster, this Quincy is making a mess out of the turkey. He has got the bones all splintered up with the marrow showing." Rooster said,
"Do the job right, Quincy. I'll have you eating feathers."
"I don't know nothing about this kind of work," said Quincy.
"A man that can skin a beef at night as fast as you can ought to be able to butcher a turkey," said Rooster.
Moon said,
"I got to have me a doctor."
Quincy said,
"Let up on that drinking. It's making you silly."
Labeef said, "If we don't separate those two, we are not going to get anything. The one has got a hold on the other." Rooster said,
"Moon is coming around. A young fella like him don't want to lose his leg. He is too young to be getting about on a willow peg. He loves dancing and sport.
You're trying to get at me, said Moon.
I'm getting at you with the truth, said Rooster.
In a few minutes, Moon leaned over to whisper a confidence into Quincy's ear.
None of that, said Rooster, raising his rifle. If you have anything on your mind, we will all hear it.
Moon said,
We seen Ned and Hayes just 2 days ago.
Don't act the fool, said Quincy. If you blow, I'll kill you.
But Moon went on.
I'm played out, said he. I must have a doctor. I'll tell what I know.
With that, Quincy brought the Bowie knife down on Moon's cuffed hand and chopped off 4 fingers which flew up before my eyes like chips from a log. Moon screamed, and a rifle ball shattered the lantern in front of me and struck Quincy in the neck, causing hot blood to spurt on my face. My thought was, I am better out of this. I tumbled backward from the bench and sought a place of safety on the dirt floor. Rooster and LaBeef sprang to where I lay, and when they ascertained that I was not hurt, they went to the fallen thieves. Quincy was insensible and dead or dying, and Moon was bleeding terribly from his hand and from a mortal puncture in the breast that Quincy gave him before they fell.
Oh, Lord, I'm dying, said he.
Rooster struck a match for light and told me to fetch a pine knot from the fireplace. I found a good long piece and lit it and brought it back, a smoky torch to illuminate a dreadful scene. Rooster removed the handcuff from the poor young man's wrist.
Do something. Help me,
were his cries.
I can do nothing for you, son, said Rooster. Your pard has killed you, and I've done for him.
Don't leave me laying here. Don't let the wolves make an end of me.
I will see you are buried right, though the ground is hard, said Rooster. You must tell me about Ned. Where did you see him?
We seen him 2 days ago at McAllister's, him and Hayes. They're coming here tonight to get remounts and supper. They are robbing the Katy Flyer at Wagner's Switch. If the snow don't stop them.
There is 4 of them?
They wanted 4 horses. That's all I know.
Ned was Quincy's friend, not mine. I would not blow on a friend.
I was afraid they would be shooting, and I would not have a chance bound up like I was. I am bold in a fight.
Rooster said,
Did you see a man with a black mark on his face?
I didn't see nobody but Ned and Hayes.
When it comes to a fight, I am right there where it is warmest. But if I have time to think on it, I am not true. Quincy hated all the laws, but he was true to his friends. What time did they say they would be here?
I looked for them before now.
My brother is George Garrett. He is a Methodist circuit rider in South Texas. I want you to sell my traps, Rooster, and send the money to him in care of the district superintendent in Austin. The Dunn horse is mine. I paid for him. We got the others last night at Mr. Burlingame's.
I said, Do you want us to tell your brother what happened to you? He said,
It don't matter about that. He knows I'm on a scout. I will meet him later, walk in the streets of glory.
Rooster said, Don't be looking for Quincy.
Quincy was always square with me,
said Moon.
He never played me false until he killed me. Let me have a drink of cold water.
LaBeef brought him some water in a cup. Moon reached for it with the bloody stump and then took it with the other hand. He said,
It feels like I still have fingers there, but I don't.
He drank deep, and it caused him pain. He talked a little more, but in a rambling manner and to no sensible purpose. He did not respond to questions. Here is what was in his eyes. Confusion. Soon it was all up with